This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And thank you for listening to the Dom Salvia Show. You can be a part, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Jess P.S. on the board, on the horn, co-host of the day, Matt Rothschild, formerly of the Progressive, formerly of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, still an author and a civic media contributor and friend of ours. Matt, always a pleasure. Thanks for sticking around, man.
Dom, it's great to be on your show. It's a great show.
Well, it's a whole lot better when you join us, Matt. Before we get to some of the sound of the Democratic congressman from Massachusetts who went off on the floor, a couple of updates from some Republicans on the situation of Trump's cabinet picks. Nikki Haley. We got a quote from Nikki Haley. Saw this on the Raw story. She lashed out against Fox News host Pete Hegseth and former reps Matt Gaetz and Tulsi Gabbard in her podcast, Nikki Haley Live. Nikki Haley Live podcast. Here's what she said. There's going to be a lot of issues getting Matt Gaetz confirmed as attorney general. It's hard to start a confirmation when you have allegations of illicit drug use and sex parties with minors. Ooh, Haley. But does she have any pull? I'm not sure. Also, this one jumped out at me as well. Senator Rand Paul on Wednesday said said on Newsmax he's not in favor of Trump deputizing military to serve as a deportation force. His quote, "I'm not in favor of sending the army in uniforms into our cities to collect people. I think it's a terrible image, and that's not what we use our military for. We never have, and it's actually been illegal for over 100 years to bring the army into our cities. The army and our military are trained to shoot the enemy. They are not trained to get a warrant to do what they're doing. I'm all for remain in Mexico. I will not support an emergency to put the army into our cities. I think that's a huge mistake." So
that's Rand Paul returning to his libertarian roots.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the people who opposed the Patriot Act too. I mean, he's really right wing, but this libertarian, civil libertarian streak is pointing him in the right direction on this issue.
At least on this issue. And yes, absolutely, we should not put... I mean, I don't know who agrees with this. If you do, please let me know. I'd love to hear the reasoning of putting our military in our streets to do a civilian's job. 855-752-4842. Now, Matt, you brought this one to my attention today. Rep. Jim McGovern from Massachusetts, ranking member of the House Rules Committee, As the article says, delivered a lengthy screed, and I do love me some screeding. So let's get to it. Jess, you did the hard work on this. We got a few cuts, so let's get to it. Cut number one, please.
I do not believe any of what my Republican friends are talking about on the floor today is in line with what the American people voted for. They voted for cheaper groceries, not whatever the hell this stuff is. They are asking us to vote for a bill, my Republican friends, that would give the incoming administration the ability to revoke the nonprofit status of any advocacy group they want just by labeling them as a terrorist sympathizer.
Ooh, what? Mm. So you get a label and all of a sudden you lose your 501c status just because? Think ACLU, NAACP, the list goes on and on. Matt, what? It's asinine on its face, but what do you think the purpose is?
Well, this is to penalize any organization that shows any sympathy with the plight of Palestinians. I think that's what's going on here. So if you're the ACLU and you want to support the protesters at the UW-Madison who are camping out on Library Mall, you're sympathizing with them, and then the Trump folks may call them a designate them as a terrorist sympathizer and get rid of their 501c3 tax exempt status. And I used to run 501c3 tax exempt organizations. And if you don't have that designation under the IRS, it makes it a lot harder to raise money. You're tax exempt because you're not endorsing candidates. You don't tell people who to vote for or who not to vote for. And you're putting out educational material. That's fine. And you can advocate on public issues like the ACLU does, or the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign used to do, or the Progressive Magazine used to do. But if you're going to take, you know, the Progressive Magazine's nonprofit status away because they wrote something about how horrible Netanyahu is when he's killing 42,000 Palestinians, and thereby you're getting designated as a terrorist sympathizing organization, you know, it's going to put a lot of progressive organizations out of business if they do that.
But you can't just dub the terrorist organization and take away your legal status just because. I mean, these organizations, the people in them, they have rights as well. I mean,
well, they do now.
They jam up the court. Well, but they're going to have, what, pass legislation then? I mean, how this is not... None of this stuff is going to be easy, and it's all going to be ugly. But let us continue with Jim McGovern, because he has a screed. Yeah. Cut number two, please.
Every decision that has been made by this incoming administration so far has not been about the American people. It has been about them.
Well, it's putting all those good people in place to, you know, shake up the system and get efficiency in government, stop the weaponization, and not at all to pad their pockets and hold up their rich buddies and give them jobs. That's not at all what it's about, Matt. It's all about you, brother.
Oh, it's just cronyism writ large here.
let's keep going. Jim McGovern, cut number three.
I'm reading the newspaper again this morning that they want to issue blank pardons to those who committed crimes on January 6th. Republicans call them political prisoners. I mean, these are people who were arrested, indicted, tried, and convicted by juries and judges in courtrooms across this country for violently attacking our brave law enforcement officers. People who smashed cops in the heads with metal barricades, who jammed them in doors until blood was coming out of their mouths. And the incoming administration is thinking about pardoning them?
I mean, that's how Orwellian it's gotten right now. We saw with our own very eyes on January 6th exactly what happened. These coup makers, these insurrectionists storming the Capitol in the very building, you know, that Jim McGovern was speaking in. And the ironic thing is a lot of his Republican colleagues were there too, and they were hiding under their desks or running for their lives. And all of a sudden, you know, they say what happened didn't actually happen. And the rioters and insurrectionists and coup plotters are now political prisoners and should be released. I mean, it is just, it's straight out of Animal Farm or any other Orwellian book you want to pick up. 1984, you name it.
The definition. And what I don't get, and what I haven't heard are specifically articulated other than blanket pardons, pardon me. I've had conversations, Matt, with some on the right who were Trump voters that were apparently unaware of the, you know, multi-decade sentencing of the Proud Boys leadership and some of the Oath Keepers for seditious conspiracy. The impression, they're in jail. They're just, you know, they were just trespassing. No, dude. I mean, this is seditious conspiracy. 20-some years these guys are doing. So would Donald Trump pardon the seditious conspirators as well as those that were trespassing and assaulting the officers? He's going to do pardons for everybody? Because last time I checked, seditious conspiracy is a pretty bad thing. And Donald Trump, in all my opinion, Matt, should have been charged with it as well.
Oh, I totally agree. And Merrick Garland just sat on this for way too long. If he had done what he should have done, which was indict Trump right away, we might not be facing what we're facing. And this January 6th issue to me is just the real dividing line or divining line among the American voting public. And even for those who didn't vote, are you telling me that you thought what happened on January 6th was okay and justified? Or do you think it's terrible to try to overturn an election by violence, by force, and clubbing police officers? You know, oh, we're going to protect the police. We believe in the blue. We're going to defend the blue. But when, you know, they're there at the Capitol trying to protect our elected officials, it's okay to, you know, batter them with anything you can get your hands on. I mean, to me, this was the most horrible event in U.S. history since the Civil War. Donald Trump is going to go down in the history books as a traitor because of what happened on January 6th. And now he's going to pardon everybody who was involved in it. I mean, it's just outrage upon outrage.
So should the people who voted for him then also get marked down as traitors in our history books? Because we
knew this. I don't think so. I mean, I think, you know, I know some folks who voted for Trump. They're not horrible people.
Why did they vote for Trump?
They voted for Trump because they hated what inflation was doing to their standard of living, and they were having a fantasy that the Trump economy was going to come back and they were going to do better under Trump financially. It was that primarily.
855-752-4842. Callers, we do see you. Be patient. Want to get through some more of this sound. Jim McGovern, a congressman from Massachusetts, on the floor of the House yesterday. Don't worry. It's going to get better because they're going to purge the military of non-loyalists. Oh, this will be fun. Cut four.
The new administration is leaking plans to court-martial military officers who are not sufficiently loyal. Isn't that usually how things go in authoritarian dictatorships? Purge the military of anyone who might have a spine and refuse to obey an unlawful order. I mean, what the hell is going on here?
Well, it's not unlawful if President Trump orders it, because he is a king. What kind of loyalty test? I mean, how do you administer? How do you determine whether or not your generals or your, you know, the folks underneath them are quote unquote loyal to this administration?
Oh, they're going to find a way. Anyone who's ever said anything that was not, you know, super complimentary of Donald Trump, it may be booted out of the military. I mean, what I like about what Representative Jim McGovern is saying there, first of all, it's finally nice to hear someone just spelling it out in plain English, just how crazy all this is, how dangerous all this is, how authoritarian all this is. And so I like this creed. It's a favorite of mine. But yeah, I mean, I'm worried. I mean, if I'm General Milley, I'm worried I'm going to be brought back into uniform and court-martialed, because a lot of Trump and a lot of his toadies have been saying he should be court-martialed. So that wouldn't surprise me either.
855-752-4842. Kurt from Madison, he jumps on the text line. OMG, ignorance is a choice, not an excuse. Stop apologizing for your friends, for God's sake. I think he's talking to you, Matt. That's our friends
and
our family.
Well, listen, I mean, are you going to just write off half the people of this country and half the people in this state? We can't do that. We got to try to talk to these people, listen to them. I'm not talking about the people who are flying Confederate flags or Nazi flags. Don't go near them. But there's a huge chunk of Trump voters who aren't, you know, explicitly racist and sexist and bigoted that we need to bring over. Otherwise, we're never going to win.
Andrew from Maine says, I would not be surprised if Trump pardons them and gives them jobs in the FBI. Matt, one other thing. Yeah, we could win if we get some of the folks that don't participate, get them on board, because some folks you're not going to convert. This is the Dom Salvia Show, coming back with your calls, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Jazzed as hell to be joined by my friend and yours, former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, a Law Review, Mr. James Santel. Jim, good to see you, man.
Dom, good to see you once again. It's Thursday afternoon.
I know.
Lots of things to talk about, as always, right?
Well, we have a new measurement today.
We do.
We do.
We do.
There's no longer a Scaramucci, which still exists, but right. It's a little bit longer,
right.
10 or 11 days, right. Depending. If you're how you measure, but now we have a Gates.
Absolutely. And again, we thought the metric system was challenging when we were in grade school, but now we've got a whole new way of measuring things. We've got a Gates, which is
8 days.
8 days. 8 days. That's it. And we'll see if we can break that in the days and weeks ahead. Nothing surprises us anymore, right?
Yeah.
And even as late as this morning, when people were asking, commenting, discussing whether or not this nomination has any legs, today in America, we say anything is possible, right? We think about the nominations, for example, I don't know, about a guy named Brett Kavanaugh, who mm-hmm. seemed to be dead on the vine. And yet he's a Supreme Court Justice today. I am old enough to remember when a fellow named Clarence Thomas was before the Senate Judiciary Committee and again, defending himself against these allegations by Anita Hill that were very credible. And we all said, okay, he is done. I remember going out to lunch at that point with some other my colleagues from the Department, U.S. Attorney's Office, Department of Justice. He said, okay, next nominee. And yet it went forward. And so even as late as this morning, even after his visits, that is Gates's visit with many senators last night, the thought was he will somehow go ahead. This will happen. My strong guess is that maybe some of them, maybe some of those Republican senators convinced him that this was not going to go well. And you never know with all the recent additional revelations about this, that org chart that shows all the monies going back and forth between him and his co-conspirator. There's probably more out there. And maybe someone also said it's going to get worse. And that combination of things prompts this today. He withdraws Donald Trump's first loss, if you will. A significant one early on in this administration. Again, we've got a Gates. It's a new measurement.
A loss for Trump, certainly for Gates. A win for the American people, in my humble opinion. What's your assessment of the Senate? I mean, obviously, I was surprised. Mm-hmm. Given how sycophantic some of these Republicans are these days. It gives me maybe a little bit of hope that there is a little spine, perhaps. And it seemed to me like a test to some degree, a troll for the Senate to throw someone who is
plainly unqualified,
putting aside the
human trafficking, the sex trafficking, all
the
those
illicit
kinds of
drug use,
exactly.
Yes.
Uh-huh. But aside from all of that,
I mean, besides all of that,
putting that to one side, and remember, we're talking about the chief federal law enforcement officer for the United States of America. Putting all that to one side, yes, you do look at this and you say, "Gosh, he's also just unqualified to do this. Mm-hmm. He's never really practiced law. He's not in charge of any major administrative function in his life." And so I think that
he's there to blow it up, man. You don't have to be a builder to take a sledgehammer to a wall, man.
And you do see that in other areas. Have we taken a look at the Department of Education and the nominee there who's recently...
Well, let me tell you something, brother.
That's right.
Linda McMahon, she was apparently, and I saw some... And it's entertainment, right? So when she's getting, suplexed
or whatever that is called,
Between her knees and... I get it, that's entertainment, but oh, my goodness.
My goodness, right? Again, is that what we have come to? And is
the, yes,
right,
the answer right, is right, yes.
And is there no one, whether it's in education or health and human services or national security, national intelligence, all these things, kinds of things, and yes, Department of Justice, there has got to be someone out there who has conservative credentials that somehow will meet those standards of the Republican senators, but who does not have this baggage and has some administrative focus on this. That gets us into, of course, the next parlor game, which is who is next,
who's
coming up. And you have to believe, again, I think you made a very important point there, Dom. This was plainly intended to be something of a test case and also sends a signal that this is my retribution. That's what he promised during the course of the campaign. If there was anybody who would bring retribution to his cabinet, it was Matt Gaetz. Again, not a good nominee, but that would be his end. Yes, they're to blow it up, to destroy it. The question is now, in the wake of that, a failed nomination, the failed retribution nomination, is there somebody else out there who may be more palatable somehow, you get them through, but still has that retribution mission? That's the fascinating thing that I will
see. Jeffrey Clark?
Jeffrey Clark right there. Just as... this Patel fellow who I think
Cash Patel.
Right, exactly, was part of the Defense Department. Others out there who might be loyalists, who may not have quite the criminal background and criminal history that
allegedly
again, never charged, but
denies it.
Right, exactly.
Did you hear the latest though? That the specific, he came out and withdrew his nomination for Attorney General shortly after getting a phone call from CNN, who said they were going to report that not only did he have sex with the 17-year-old that night, he had sex with her twice, along with another woman. They had a threesome with the 17-year-old. Right. That was to come out.
That was coming out, yeah. Exactly.
And now it's too much? Now
right.
It's time?
Now it's time, right. And what else is out there? We know that these things drip, 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 and they get worse and worse and worse. And that's my point, that probably he saw the writing on the wall. My guess is... We don't know. My guess is Donald Trump and the White House or the incoming White House didn't call him up and say, hey, you got to withdraw. But maybe there were some discussions that said internal to Gates's own circle.
The math of the Senate. If you're not going to get them, they put their foot down, Murkowski and some others, say, no, I'm not voting for this. Right. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to put my name on this. I'm not going to put a stamp of approval on this. Absolutely not. Go pound sand.
Right.
And if you have a few of those, well, good luck. You're done. That's
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
End
right.
of story. And now it's called the Gates.
Right.
8 days.
Exactly.
I got a great idea for a replacement. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, somebody who's been in the courtroom, perhaps,
sure.
Somebody who has a wide breadth of knowledge, somebody who maybe a former Wisconsin Supreme Court justice, somebody who
Absolutely.
Is a Trump supporter. How about Michael Gableman?
Right?
Yes.
Apparently, he doesn't have at least public employment right now, and we do know that he was pursuing that investigation. Used a lot of our tax dollars to pursue that to no end before breaking with ranks with the legislature there. So all sorts of options out there. You're
all
right.
All sorts of options. Join us, 855-752-4842. We'll get into Michael Gableman coming up next.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Just PS on the board, you on the horns as well. Join us at your convenience. I want to thank Maggie Dawn, the overtime with Maggie Dawn here on Tuesdays. Once again, check her show out 2 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm just in a mood. I got to tell you, I got so many things. I feel like it should be Friday, like airing the grievances. I got a lot of things to say, and now you people are going to hear about it. Let's start with Trump's New York criminal trial. According to CBS News, President-elect Trump's six-year New York triple trial odyssey might need to continue at least another four, prosecutors said today. Lawyers for Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg wrote in a letter to Justice Juan Merchan that Trump should not be sentenced for his crimes until after he completes his second term in office. That would be the year 2029, more than a decade after the investigation into Trump's cover-up of hush money payment began.
Yeah, and that assumes a lot of things. Like, he makes it to that 82 mark.
Or he doesn't do a third term.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know.
He's floated it.
Consideration must be given to various non-dismissal options that may address the any concerns raised by the pendency of a post-trial criminal proceeding during this presidency, such as deferral of all remaining criminal proceedings until after the end of the defendant's upcoming presidential term. Mershon had been slated to rule on November 12th on whether presidential immunity should have prevented jurors from seeing certain evidence at Trump's trial this spring, but he postponed his decision. Mershon said he wanted to hear from prosecutors about how to proceed in the case, which entered uncharted terrain when Trump was reelected president. Congratulations, folks. He got away with it. He freaking got away with it. He continues to get away with it. The criming, the grift, because butter was too high. And now he's going to what? He's going to put tariffs on everything, so he claims. I mean, that's his campaign promise. And he's going to, what, export, deport millions of workers that are employed in the dairy industry and the food service industry, construction industry, causing prices to rise if that is actually to come to fruition, breaking up families, causing strife. You're going to deploy the military in the streets of this country in that endeavor. And now the criminal continues to get away with it. What are the chances coming out at the end of 2029 that Donald Trump goes right out of the White House and into a jail cell? I mean, just for 30 days. I mean, even at that. Days. I mean, you know, you got to do something. Otherwise, why not? Everyone gets away with it. Oh, just go be president. Yep. It'll be fine. So there's the lesson, folks. All you little megas out there teaching all you little mega kids, just tell them. None of it matters. You can get away with it so long as you're rich, white, and powerful. And you can do whatever you want. And that will be rewarded not just in our judicial system, not just in our political system, but also in our journalism. Which brings us back to Joe and Mika. You know, when it came out that the Morning Joe crew went down to open communications with Trump at Mar-a-Lago, my initial reaction was, what?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm reactionary a lot. You know, sometimes I'll hear like a new song. I'm like, oh, I don't like that song. And then I hear a few more times. I'm like, oh, that's not so bad. So I want to give myself a little time to, you know, digest.
Sure, sat with it.
Yeah, you know. And I'm still a little angry about it.
Yeah.
And these are some super uber privileged right wing leaning lefty talkers that decided that what they were concerned enough to go open communications with Trump. Some of the reporting, I believe this is from yesterday. Let's see here. Yes, from yesterday, they revealed they went to Mar-a-Lago. And a back and forth that the husband and co-wife scripted ahead of time. Did you see, we played a little bit of this. They literally went down like he had her part to say, or he had his part to say, she had her part to say. They scripted this thing. They knew there was going to be some blowback, and I think rightfully so. Scarborough said, we didn't see eye to eye on a lot of issues, and we told him so. But what we did agree on was to restart communications, suggesting that their behavior should be a model for others. So let's restart the communications with the biggest threat to democracy ever, the fascists. I mean, all the things that have been said by specifically Mika and Joe. And I'm not disagreeing with some of the terrible descriptions they laid on the man. I think it is apt and I think it is appropriate. But if that's the case, you're going to open lines of communication with the fascist? How does that work exactly? Updated reporting on this today. Brian Stelter over at CNN. Morning Joe meeting with Trump was driven by fears of retribution from incoming administration. Sources say, now this was from this morning, an update. Morning Joe co-host Scarborough and Brzezinski announced Monday in dramatic fashion they went to Mar-a-Lago. In private conversation, Scarborough argued that having FaceTime with a world leader is a no-brainer. Some of his MSNBC colleagues agreed, but there was more to the Mar-a-Lago meeting. According to two sources with direct knowledge of the matter, Scarborough and Brzezinski were credibly concerned that they could face governmental and legal harassment from the incoming Trump administration. Governmental and legal harassment.
So they went down to what? Make nice and say, hey, we'll be on your side. We'll cover you.
No,
nice.
We're just going to open up lines of communication.
Okay.
Knowing that Trump has threatened retribution against his perceived political opponents and that Trump has promoted lies about Scarborough and Brzezinski in the past, the MSNBC host decided to reach out to the president-elect, sources told CNN. The two sources generally agreed with Scarborough and Brzezinski's impression of the situation at hand, namely that the incoming Trump administration could use its wide-ranging powers to punish people deemed enemies. And parentheticals.
That's a long list.
Right. Trump ally Elon Musk wrote on X overnight in a post supporting Matt Gaetz for Attorney General that America needs Gaetz to put powerful bad actors in prison. Within MSNBC, one of the country's most prominent progressive media brands, there are a variety of opinions about what Trump and his allies might do. For that reason, there are a wide range of feelings about the Morning Joe meeting, according to a half a dozen employees who spoke on the condition of anonymity. Some hosts and employees took a realpolitik view, pardon me, of the matter, saying that access to the president-elect is a valuable part of reporting and covering the news. Others said the meeting was a troubling early sign of capitulation to a political leader who MSNBC has portrayed day after day as a would-be dictator. Shortly after the Mar-a-Lago meeting was publicized, lawyer and MSNBC host Katie Fang posted on social media, normalizing Trump is a bad idea, period. The post was widely perceived to be a response to Scarborough and Brzezinski. Monday morning's big reveal led some media observers to suspect that the Morning Joe hosts thought they might be singled out for political prosecutions. Other MSNBC personalities have also privately wondered if they would be targeted. There's more. You can find that at the CNN.com. All right. So what was it yesterday? A paraphrase, I think George Orwell, other people have apparently said this as well. You know, journalism is writing what people don't want to be written. Everything else is PR or everything else is marketing. You know, if you want friends, get a dog. You know, Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski are not worried about paying the cable bill. If there is somebody who has a national audience with a big network behind them, NBC, with the resources to pull it off, former conservative Joe Scarborough, whatever, you know, it's them. You are the people that are supposed to absolutely stand up to this guy. The dude said, like, 2 weeks ago, if people are going to shoot at Trump, he wouldn't mind if they shot through the media to get him. Yeah, I don't mind if they get shot. What? And you're going to go down there and kiss the ring, bend the knee, kiss some ass? Are you kidding me? Targeted for what? What did you do, Joe? We know Donald Trump has accused you of murdering your intern. We know Donald Trump has said Mika had her when last time they visited back years ago, she came down and her face was all bloody from the bad face job she got, the plastic surgery. I mean, this is the kind of, this is what you want? This is more of this? You're going to normalize that? You're supposed to speak truth to power. And you got the money, you got the background, you got the credibility, and you're going to go down there and kiss his ass. And that just bothers me to no end. I mean, literally, are you really worried? You think Donald Trump, you think Matt Gaetz is going to send the stormtroopers into the studio? You think that's going to happen? I'd love to see it happen. Bring it on. I don't know if any of you know this, but I will remind you as a 13-year journalist and show host, I was unduly harassed and singled out by government when I was unconstitutionally arrested at the Wisconsin State Capitol for the crime of standing in the Capitol watching other people get arrested. Oh, yeah, that happened. That was back during the protest. I mean, it's after the main protest, but the Solidarity sing-along singers, they went there every day, noon to one, just to sing silly songs and harass Scott Walker, the governor at the time. And I was there to observe it. Week after week, day after day, we did this. And eventually, Walker and the Republicans got their undies in a bundle and decided to do something about the silly songs are being directed at them. So they created or changed some administrative code to make it a violation. And, well, if you had this many people doing this and it was, you needed to get a permit to protest. Yeah, these Republicans, you know, the Freedom Republicans, you got to get a permit to protest. Okay. Of course, the Solidarity sing along, they were not going to have anything to do with that, and they weren't pulling a permit. And as time went on, it was getting more and more people. Well, finally, the Walker administration set up a sandwich board in the middle and said, all right, this is it. If you're singing now, you are participating in an unsanctioned protest, and we're going to arrest you. I was like, ooh, damn, that seems kind of harsh and unconstitutional, but okay. So I went down, me and Crudy went down and check it out. By the time I arrived, I'm known to be a little late sometimes. Crudy had already been arrested and processed and back out again. I walk in, literally, I think it's 7 minutes from when I closed my car door on the Capitol Square, walked into whatever corridor it was. And if you've been to the Capitol, there's many corridors, and happened to just run into Crudy right there. He's got his entire life in a Ziploc bag. I got arrested. All right, let's go in and check it out. Go in. Bunch of people still hanging around. Some people singing slowly, slowly. And there I was as a member of the media, just observing, taking pictures, you know, getting ready to formulate a plan for a conversation on the radio later that day. And what happens? Well, out of the corner of my eye, I can see him coming. Man, you can smell it. If you've ever been in, you know, I wasn't always
smell like?
Bacon. It wasn't I wasn't always an upstanding, you know, show host. You know, I did a few crimes in my life, you know, never convicted. But I saw him coming. So I put my phone on record and put it in my pocket. And they walk up to me and said, sorry, sir, you're participating in an unsanctioned, unlawful protest and you have to leave. I'm like, well, man, I was just sitting here and reading the sign, taking pictures like everybody else. No, sir, you got to go. Now I'm at this moment in my time. I know I'm not doing anything wrong. Do I punch Officer Fell, who's a little short guy? I mean, I could have taken him. He's about tall as you, Jess. Do I do that? Because that's always going to be bad when you start fighting the cops. So I complied. I turned around and started to walk away, oh, so slowly. And the officer, the main guy there, nope, 95 of them. Oh, sorry, sir, you're under arrest. For what? Well, you're under arrest. I'll tell you what, for harassment. Because I was the long-haired, you know, talking on the progressive. Hey, you guys know me. I voted for Scott Walker in the recall, for crying out loud. You know, this isn't, you know, I wasn't there, like, throwing bombs. I was just literally hanging out with long hair and flip-flops. I didn't wear my flip-flops today, although it was nice enough out here. And I do have a shorter hair now. That's harassment. I know a little bit about that. And I settled with the state for $75,000 for it. Bring it. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Harvey J.K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin at Green Bay. Sticking around for one more segment. You can join us as well, 855-75-CIVIC. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert and fan here, and I saw your tweet from yesterday. I hope I never again hear a Dem say I'm a capitalist. Rather, I look forward to hearing them say I'm an FDR Democrat. And like FDR in 1930, quote, there is no question in my mind that it is time for the country to become fairly radical for at least one generation, unquote. Harvey, how does that quote from FDR apply to today, and what does it mean to you?
Okay, well, first thing to do, let's not forget that FDR is running for president around 1930, he is running for president, 1932. And that remark is from 1930. So that was really a to him, he looked around at America in the middle of the Great Depression, and he was fully aware of what was going on in Europe with the rise of fascism. And he was convinced that based on the fact that history in the United States was the Revolution and the Civil War. If you're confronting a threat to the American promise, you have got to go radical. So in 1776, they declared independence, okay, and eventually set up the makings of a democratic republic. Lincoln, confronted by the secession of the South and basically what was going on in the military sector, you know, along the border between North and South, he basically said, "We know what we have to do." This was a famous speech of his. "Fellow Americans, we know what we have to do. The whole world knows what we must do." And basically what he does is he explains that that it was time to bring an end to slavery. And the Civil War in some ways was a second American Revolution in that respect. Well, FDR, thinking of the Depression and thinking of the threat of fascism, and there were fascist forces in the United States as well. In fact, the editors of Vanity Fair magazine actually said, maybe we could use a Mussolini to help lead us out of this depression. The president of the American Political Science Association said, who knows what America will become? Maybe it'll become fascist. Maybe it'll become communist. So the point is, FDR figured if you're going to save democracy, you've got to make dramatic changes. And when he ran for president, he laid out, contrary to what many historians have said, he actually laid out a fairly radical agenda. It was going to include such things as Social Security. It was going to include initiatives at major public works projects to put people to work and to modernize the American public, you know, what they call that, the superstructure of the United States, roads, bridges, tunnels. I mean, if you look across the United States, it's an amazing it's an amazing legacy that he left us.
Absolutely. Anyhow,
so his point is you mobilize Americans. You put them to work. You engage them in the process of modernizing and transforming America, and you empower them, which is why he ends up signing into law first in 33 and then later, especially in 35, laws that would empower workers to organize. And they created the National Labor Relations Board to stand behind workers' efforts, not to mediate, but to stand behind workers' efforts. Then this is something people don't realize. In 1934, he actually did this a number of times through his 12 years as president. He decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life. He called on Congress to cap wealth and incomes, at least at that time. And the way
sounds like history's repeating itself, Harvey Kane. Well,
the problem is that the Democrats have not done that. We thought they might do it in 2020 because Bernie and Biden kind of got it together and they set out an agenda together. But it is the case that Biden was stymied by people in his own party. And then he did make some changes, but not at all to the extent of a New Deal, but he had a hard time doing that. America, now, I don't think Americans voted to slash the budget by trillions of dollars. I don't think they voted to slash the taxes on the rich, which is, again, a likely possibility.
I mean, I hate to tell you, though, Harvey, I think Trump was talking about it, and maybe they did. Hey, let me squeeze in a caller here real quick before we run out of time. We got 2 minutes.
Okay.
Hey, Tom, you're on with Harvey. I know you got something about the Economic Bill of Rights. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Harvey, as you know, I am a proud FDR Democrat, and I want to know when it is that we're going to get a candidate that is actually going to speak not in terms of first off, everyone needs to learn who FDR is, and shame on us for not knowing who he was. But second, we just need to have a candidate come out and say, I am going to fulfill the second Economic Bill of Rights of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. That's what we need.
Thank you, Tom. Harvey, do you have a candidate in mind, and do you think that's coming anytime soon?
Well, Bernie did do that, okay? And the shame is that Bernie didn't do what I said we needed a candidate to do, say, I am an FDR Democrat. He made it a point of saying, I'm a democratic socialist. Most Americans' heads turned if they even understood the term. So I think it's a possibility. I think there are folks on the horizon. There are political figures who I've spoken to. The problem is they have yet to fully come out in favor of an economic bill of rights. So hard for me to say, but I ain't stopping. I'm going to keep pushing.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. You can find him on Twitter at Harvey J K. That's K-A-Y-E. Harvey, thanks again for coming around. You are my favorite radical, my favorite Democratic socialist, my favorite FDR Democrat. Thank you so much for joining us, man. We'll talk real soon.
Thank you for having me. You bet.
My pleasure. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. Stick around. Our pal John Nichols from the Cap Times and from The Nation, he's going to check in as well. Time that we kill keeps us alive. When we build these dreams on sand, how they all slip through our hands. And this might be our only chance. Let's take this one day at a time. I'll hold your hand if you hold mine. The time that we kill keeps us alive.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.